Beer, Cheese, and Murder is a true crime podcast about Wisconsin from Wisconsin. Due to the nature of true crime, this podcast contains explicit and graphic content which may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Beer, Cheese, and Murder. I'm Erica, and joining me are
Bonnie,
Jill,
and Terry.
All right, so this is our second Oh My Nerves episode. So we will jump into it. What are you guys drinking and eating?
So I have my John's very special old-fashioned mix, and I had to go get it here, but I figure since we were doing the Oh My Nerves episode, all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, I could do that tonight. Since I think we're getting our last warm summerish day of year, seeing as it's November, almost mid-November, and it's 70 degrees.
We've been saying that every time for the last, like,
I know, but I think it's gonna hit us this weekend.
Yeah, so I have that on the rocks with I didn't have any 50/50s, so I used Fresca and 7-Up, and that seems to be
I haven't had a Fresca since I was a teenager.
Right? I know. I saw it at the store and I was like, that looks really refreshing. So, yeah. I hadn't looked this up before until just now, and I'm trying to find it on the computer, but one of my friends had given me this call me old fashioned candle that is supposed to smell like an old fashioned. And it was from a local store. And by local, I just mean in Wisconsin, and it's called Lake Life Candle Company. So I was like, oh, I wonder if that's a Wisconsin small business. And it says that it's in Wanakee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, and I believe Wanakee is just outside of Madison or around Madison area, from what I think Dina has said before. So I don't have that confirmed because I can't find it quickly right now, but hopefully it is the Wanakee, Wisconsin candle maker.
Okay. And then I actually, for the guys, this has nothing to do with what I'm drinking or eating, but because you had an old fashioned, it reminded me. So this weekend is annual guys weekend. And so I saw an article pop up about the this Racine Kringle place making official old world Danish shit or Danish Kringle, and they had one for like a Christmas cookie Kringle, which I probably will be buying in Christmas, but they also talked about some other seasonal ones. And so they had a brandy old fashioned Kringle.
No way.
Where is this place?
It's in Racine. It's like O&H Bakery or something or other. Okay, but anyway,
so it's not the normal Kringle
thing. They have another location.
Okay.
They have a little offshoot, a mini store off of Highway 100 and 27th Street.
Oh, that's not that far then.
What's that?
So it's not that far then. But
right. Yeah. So I've gone there to get some Kringles for, well, when I sent the care package to the Florida police, I went there because that's such a Wisconsin tradition.
Well, they ship Kringle as well. So I ordered a brandy old fashioned Kringle online and it arrived yesterday, but it said like they recommend doing it a couple days in advance because it freezes well. So what I did was I stuck it in the freezer, and then when Sean goes up, he'll take it out, and then by the time he gets up there, it'll thaw out. So that was kind of my thought, is that the guys can enjoy a nice brandy old-fashioned Kringle.
I thought you were going to say it warned not to eat it for breakfast.
No, I mean, it does say that it has brandy in there, but my guess is that it cooks out the alcohol portion.
Yeah, it's just the taste.
So, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I was like, well, I got it. I'm like, I feel like your dad's going to get a kick out of that. So once I saw that, I wanted to at least give it a try. So.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And now I did find, if I could just jump back, apparently this is a little shop on Main Street, which is Highway 19 in Wanakee. And you can buy sweet handmade candles online or in the store. So isn't that exciting?
Neat. Yeah, that's cool. Now, Terry, it looked like you were drinking wine. Are you drinking wine or is that something
else? Just a normal generic wine.
Not always.
Dog is running down the stairs. I'm racing track. I'm trying to figure out what he's doing.
Facing the ghosts around.
Yeah. Settle down, dude.
You see any orbs? All right. So I have. So I'll start with the beer. So I've got a New Glarus bubbler. So it is from the New Glarus Brewing Company in New Glarus, Wisconsin. It's 4% ABV, so it's not too heavy. It's pretty light in terms of beer, I guess. It is a Hefeweizen, so that's, I guess, the German pronunciation. But Weizen would be white, so it's a lighter beer. So it says on the bottle, the bubbler Hefeweiss you hold in your hand sparkles with democratic spirit, combining Wisconsin wheat alongside European Pilsner malt. Choice American hops partner with imported hops, even yeasts blend together in our open top fermenters. 100% naturally carbonated and hazy, expect this living beer to pour an exuberant, effervescent gold. Bubblers beat in our hearts. It's a Wisconsin thing. So bubbler.
Oh, yes. I totally forgot about the bubbler.
Oh, it's gonna come back. Okay.
I must share that when we were in Pittsburgh and we went to the Pirates Brewers game this summer. Yeah. There were a lot of Brewers fans and they're wearing their t-shirt. And so I'm walking, looking for the bathroom, but I was maybe looking for a bubbler too. But I said to a woman wearing a Brewers shirt as well, I'm like, do you know where the bubblers are? I'm like, oh, excuse me. I mean, water fountain. And she was laughing. She got the joke that we're the joke.
Caleb was shocked. She had no idea when she moved to San Diego.
I didn't know either. I think I didn't know until I went to, I think it was the STEP program. It was Seminar for Top Engineering Prospects. I was like 17. And so it was at Purdue University. And it was a bunch of kids from all over the place, from other states and stuff. And that was when I realized that nobody else called it a bubbler. I was like dumbfounded.
Yeah,
I
didn't... They're looking at you like, what are you?
Yeah, they're like, about? What are you talking about?
I was 8 when we moved to Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So then in addition to the beer, I've actually had this sitting in my pantry for a while, waiting to use it, but it's a Kick Ash Trail Mix. So this is from Kick Ash, and I'm saying Ash, A-S-H, in case anybody doesn't quite hear the sh sound. So it's Kick Ash Products, LLC, and it's out of Ellison Bay, Wisconsin. So this particular trail mix, it's probably more of a grown-up trail mix. So it has almonds, pecans, pepitas, chocolate chips. There must be really small chocolate chips because I definitely have tasted the chocolate, but I almost can't even tell that I'm picking it up. Pure maple syrup. So I think that's more from like a coating perspective. dried cherries, coconut chips, and then also a little bit of sea salt. And it's really good.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah. And I'm not a raisin person. Like, I don't like raisins, so I'm not a big, like, dried fruit fan, but the dried cherries are actually not that bad, especially mixed with everything else. So I will say
that. Because your boys like raisins.
They do. Yep, I can't stand them. I never grew out of my dislike of raisins. But I'm not going to say that they can't have it, you know. That's my issue, not theirs. All right. So on that note, I did say that the bubbler was going to come back. So as we move into the rest of the episode, I do have our Wisco fact, which we've already kind of touched on. And I believe we've mentioned before, is that in Wisconsin, specifically in the Milwaukee area, particularly, we refer to water fountains as bubblers. So I found an article and it says, where did the term bubbler come from? And are we the only ones who say it? And this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it was actually published in February of 2020. So it says, why don't Milwaukee's downtown streets match up? Are Wisconsin's winters really getting worse? Where did Laverne and Shirley live? Sometimes you have a question about where you live that needs answering. That's why we recently launched What the Wisconsin, where experts are ready to take on questions, large and small, about our city and our state. And when we can, we'll turn those answers into stories. Fittingly, the first question sent to What the Wisconsin is about the first thing that people from the rest of the country ask about us. Where did the term bubbler that only we use for a water fountain come from? Drinking fountains go back to ancient times, but the gush of interest in cleaner drinking water in cities in the late 19th century led to a boom in drinking fountains just about everywhere, including Wisconsin. They began popping up in Milwaukee in the late 1880s, but at least in the pages of the Milwaukee Journal and Sentinel, they were always called drinking fountains. The device attached to a faucet so that humans could drink from it does make the water bubble forth for drinking. The first references to drinking fountains as bubblers in Milwaukee newspapers turn up in 1910 when they're called sanitary bubblers, fountain bubblers, or water bubblers. The prefixes fell away by the early 1920s. So, and it says, blame it on Kohler, maybe? So why did bubbler catch on here as the word for a drinking fountain? For years, it's been assumed there was a Kohler connection. According to the Dictionary of American Regional English, the massive dialect dictionary produced over half a century at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, one of the first uses of bubbler in connection with a drinking fountain was in material from Kohler County in Sheboygan County in 1914, citing a Kohler fountain that was fitted with nickel-plated brass self-closing bubbling valve, adjustable for a continuous flow of water, can also furnish continuous flow bubbler with above fountain. So it was kind of like a component that was produced out of Kohler, which I think my dad actually told me when I was a kid at one point in time. Note that it's an adjective there, not a noun. So it's a descriptive term. Joan Houston Hall, former chief editor of the dictionary, told Wisconsin Public Radio in 2015 that bubbler usage mirrors the marketing area of the Kohler Company of 1918 or so, chiefly in eastern Wisconsin and especially in the southeastern corner of the state. For years, there also was a story that Kohler actually coined the term bubbler, reportedly trademarking the name in 1888. Only problem with that, as the Sheboygan Press reported in 2014, is that Kohler Company didn't exist until about 1900. Although bubbler and drinking fountain seem to have been used interchangeably, bubbler is the word that stuck in Milwaukee's cranium. And as important in our self-identity, By the early 1960s, news reports highlighted the fact that calling a bubbler was the sure sign of being a Milwaukeean. Why Milwaukee uses this term is hard to say. Possibly it is a survival of the old German habit of making words sound like what they represent. The Racine Journal-Times wrote in a 1963 editorial printed in both the Journal and Sentinel. But the word has a certain charm, and we hope Milwaukee keeps it. So here's the thing. We're not the only people that say bubbler. It says, here's the kicker. It seems we aren't the only people who use bubbler. According to dialect maps put together in 2013 by Joshua Katz at the University of North Carolina, Rhode Island also says it. And no one seems sure why they say it either. And you know where else bubbler is big? Australia. So random.
Yeah.
How would they say it with their accent?
Yeah. That's so weird, though. It says,
I didn't realize that.
If a lively discussion on Reddit last year can be believed, folks in Queensland, New South Wales, the Australian Capital Territory, and the Northern Territory, basically most of the eastern half of the country, including cities such as Sydney and Canberra, also are pro-bubbler. But you never heard anyone connecting Aussies to bubblers. Milwaukee, on the other hand, bubblers are part of our image. In 1983, a journal reporter in Washington, D.C. was at the White House when Ray Donovan, Ronald Reagan's labor secretary, not the just canceled TV series of the same name, gave credit where credit was due. He said, if you hear someone call a water fountain a bubbler, you can bet he's from Milwaukee. So that's interesting. So, I mean, it is definitely something, but yeah. So the Rhode Island, Milwaukee, and Australia.
Yeah.
It's like a pretty large chunk of Australia as well. But even so, it seems that Milwaukee is the one where you think of when you hear the term bubbler. If you know what it is, I feel like a lot of people probably are like, what are you talking about?
Right.
So that was our fact, I guess, for this episode. So the bubbler. I can get back to my notes here. All right. So anybody who's listening, who didn't listen to the previous Oh My Nerves episode, or you are new to listening to the podcast, essentially this kind of deviates from our usual episode in that rather than having one case that we kind of dive into and go through the details, we each have selected a story or article that falls into the category of something that just makes you want to say, oh, my nerves, which would be interchangeable with, oh, my gosh, oh, my goodness, oh, my God, holy cow. But we have a family member that we adore who uses that term in particular. So that is why we selected that as our episode topic. So way that I think we've done this in the last episode that was in Oh My Nerves is we kind of went alphabetically. So we will start with Bonnie.
All right. My article, the headline is Milwaukee 16-year-old shot 15-year-old over hoodie, prosecutors say. This is in Milwaukee. A beef over a stolen hoodie led to an attempted first-degree intentional homicide charge against a Milwaukee 16-year-old. Prosecutors say the teenager, Milwaukee gang member, shot a 15-year-old boy, a member of a different Milwaukee gang, after accusing him of stealing property, including a hoodie. The shooting happened August 20th at a gas station near 37th and North. According to a criminal complaint, surveillance showed a Nissan with heavily tinted windows pulling into the gas station lot. Prosecutors say Boquan Brown got out of the passenger seat carrying a firearm firing it once or twice before running back to the car. The 15-year-old shooting victim suffered a gunshot wound to the head and was rushed to Children's Hospital. A witness who identified as a member of the DTE, Downtown Entertainment Gang, a branch of the Kia Boys.
Downtown Entertainment Gang?
Now they have branches. They have branches.
A branch of what did you say? Which gang?
The Kia Boys.
Kia Boys.
Kia Boys. Oh my God. This is what happens when your brain is not fully developed. Who's coming up with these?
Yeah.
But they told investigators DTE was beefing with a murder gang over. Member over.
Did you say murder gang?
Murder.
Murder.
M-U-R-D-A gang.
Murder gang?
DTE, murder, and the Kia Boys. Wow.
Over. No, I don't know what this abbreviation for, but it's BAP, B-A-P-E, hoodies.
BAP hoodies?
Yeah.
B? B as in boy?
B-A-P-E.
Huh. Okay. Bape? Yeah. I mean, my boys wear Nike hoodies. Thank goodness. Thank goodness they're not going to get shot. Jeez.
Oh, I think it's a brand. All right. I just looked it up. It looks like it's a brand. Bape. Okay. Like a company or whatever.
Yeah, that could be. I haven't heard
that
of it.
Expensive if you believe Amazon. So let's see.
Oh my gosh. Sure enough.
Never mind. Just kidding. These are like expensive hoodies. Or they looks like they got expensive stuff on this website.
That's
they've got a Bape relaxed fit pullover hoodie. No, this is like the Bape.com site, not Amazon.
Oh okay.
And yeah, so it says Bape relaxed fit pullover hoodie and men's $339.
Oh, stop it for a freaking hoodie. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, now I see them. Yep, $200.
Jeez,
okay.
Please.
All right,
not
sorry.
Worth it.
We had to look that up. Never heard of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you never know if it's some acronym for something that we're just too old to know.
Right. Oh my.
Okay. So
who pays $400 or $200 or even $100 for a hoodie?
Kardashian.
Not me. All right. Sorry, Bonnie. Go ahead.
All right. So this witness said he was the one who took the hoodie that was the center of this dispute. He believed he was the target of the shooting. Brown was arrested for several other offenses, and the complaint says he told investigators he was responsible for the gas station shooting. He said the day before the shooting, Meech, end quote, and another person robbed him of the hoodie, some jogging pants, some Jordan shoes, and an iPhone Plus.
Okay, so he shot him over the hoodie, but not the iPhone?
Apparently.
And you said the kid's name was Meech?
Yeah, M-E-E-C-H.
Like Cheech and Chong, only Meech. They probably don't even know who Cheech and Chong are.
Right.
They probably are familiar with the product of Cheech and Chong.
That's, you know, the worst part is that these kids are so young, they shouldn't even be able to access weapons.
Right, exactly.
So he said when he saw Meech the next day at the gas station, he fired 3 to 4 times. He then went home and later sold the gun.
Sold it.
The complaint notes Brown was questioned by investigators about being in a stolen blue Hyundai Elantra in a separate case.
Should be a Kia. Sorry.
And he said,
yeah, good point.
He does not remember because he had been in approximately 15 stolen vehicles since 2021.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. I just can't remember 16? Which
stolen vehicle it was.
Brown made his initial appearance in court Thursday, October 27th. Cash bond was set at $100,000.
Oh, I'm glad to
hear. All my nerves.
Yes, all my nerves, that's for sure. And I'm glad to hear the amount was rather steep, you know, not like 10 grand or something.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy stuff.
Oh my gosh. Oh, my nerves. As Bonnie said, yeah. Am I up next?
So even though Dina is unable to join us tonight, she did have an article selected. So I do have that. I'm just trying to like take a look at it and make sure that this isn't one that we covered the last time, because it is another Only in Your State episode, but I think it is different. So if anybody is listening to the previous one and listens to this and remembers better than us, let me know. But all right, so this is an onlyinyourstate.com, and it's Wisconsin Dumbest Criminals. It says the 8 dumbest criminals in Wisconsin of all time will have you laughing in disbelief. So many people turn to crime to solve their problems rather than solve them in a civil manner. But for all of the violent crimes that happen, there are those that just make you laugh or at least scratch your head and go, huh? Or, oh, my nerves. Here are 8 of Wisconsin's dumbest criminals. So first is Melissa Jacobson. So it says on March 30th, 2015, Melissa Jacobson started her day doing something most of us do from time to time, returning things to customer service. We know that the lines can be long. Apparently, Jacobson agreed, and she left the line temporarily to answer nature's call. But rather than use a bathroom like normal humans, she ducked behind a cash register and fully relieved herself there.
What?
Yep. Oh, it gets better.
Yep. Her act was caught on a security camera, but employees didn't notice it until they started smelling something disgusting. They discovered the customer's deposit and immediately consulted surveillance cameras. Jacobson was wearing a shirt, ironically, that said, "Dropping a load." Police came to her home and she was still wearing the same t-shirt. She was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest.
Oh, my nerves. That's ridiculously gross.
Yeah, that's really, really, really gross. All right. 2 is Jamie Hang. Jamie Hang was driving in Manitowoc on January 18, 2014. On the same road, Stephen Go. Oh, wait. I feel like we have. Either I've read this or...
I've read it, yeah. I was going to use it, but I didn't do it. I don't know
if we covered this or if I've just read this one before, but it says on the same road, Stephen Gove was on his route delivering newspapers. Hang ended up hitting Gove and Gove went through his windshield. But Hang, and his name is Hang too, or last name is Hang too. Hang didn't even notice. Gov apparently said to Hang while he was lodged in the windshield, "Hey, I'm the guy you hit on the bicycle." Hang proceeded to drive home without acknowledging Gov. It was only until Hang got home that he said to Gov, "Who are you?" Clearly, he wasn't listening when he said, "I'm the one you hit on the bicycle," and commenced freaking out about going to jail. And Hang was charged. Shocker.
Shocker.
Shocking. Oh. Okay. And then the next is Cordell Ellingson. In July 2013, Cordell encouraged an unnamed minor to go and rob a neighborhood grocery store. The masked robber, oh my God, a minor, entered the store and confronted 96-year-old Margareta Wolf. He demanded that she open the cash register and even flashed a knife. Wolf responded, "You can have all the Tootsie Rolls you want, but I am not opening that cash register." The youth got frustrated, noticed the security camera, and fled. Both youths were apprehended. So I guess when you're 96 and you're like,
yeah,
I've lived a long life, I'm not putting up with this bullshit. Like, take the Tootsie Rolls. All right. Then there's number four, Gerard S. Carr. And this is another Walmart one, apparently. Here's some good advice. Something.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Walmart,
yeah. Something Gerard Carr learned the hard way. Always have a receipt. On March 8, 2013, came to the Lake Halley Walmart to return a printer, but he didn't have a receipt. Employees examined the device and found paper with counterfeit $100 bills printed on them. Whoops. He was arrested for attempted threat by fraud. So apparently.
Sounds like Good Girls. Has anyone watched that show?
Oh,
yeah.
Where they're returning stuff like without the receipts, money laundering.
All right, number five, Huaka Yang. On May 11, 2012, Yang decided to go on a little crime spree, stealing stuff out of cars. One of those items was a video camera. Unbeknownst to Yang, he was caught on a surveillance camera, so cops were led right to him. But what Yang did with the camera he stole might be one of the dumbest things ever. Yang proceeded to turn the camera on and record a video where he bragged about stealing the camera.
Wow, so smart.
So when cops seized the camera, they found the confession on tape. That has to be the most open and shut case of all time. That's called narcissism. All right. Julia E. Lack was number six. In October of 2019, Lack, apparently hard up for cash, decided to shoplift at a Sheboygan liquor store. She took a lighter as well as some beef jerky. Police tracked Lack at her home. Lack decided to completely disrobe, okay, and was convinced that by being naked, this meant that cops couldn't arrest her.
What? Hey, that sounds like Kayla, how she thought you couldn't recognize people when you were wearing sunglasses. Oh. She thought like people wouldn't recognize if you had sunglasses.
How old was she when she thought that?
This is like within the past 5 years.
Okay.
we'll have to ask her about that one. Okay, sorry.
Unfortunately for Lack, who was not a legal expert, she was in fact arrested. Let that be a lesson for you. Yeah, I'd rather be arrested with my clothes on if I have to be arrested. Like, she just made that 10 times worse for herself. Right. Number seven, Brian Wendler. When you've already been arrested for a DUI 5 times, you aren't the smartest human being, probably because you're killing your brain cells with alcohol. But the 6th time that Wendler got arrested for the DUI might have been his most memorable. Well, memorable for others, because this guy had no idea what was going on. In January of 2013, Wendler's car was sitting idle in the middle of the street. Cops investigated, and Wendler was slumped over the wheel asleep.
Oh, my gosh.
When cops got Wendler...
He's asleep.
Well, I mean, at least the next line, because I have
at least he pulled over, I guess. So when cops got Wendler out of the vehicle, they noticed he was wearing a shirt that said, "Been drinking? Free breathalyzer test, blow here." So with an arrow pointing to his crotch. Oh my God.
Loser.
Oh my God. Well,
like, you can't even make this shit up, right?
No. Well, needless to say, Wendler blew a .19. He didn't sleep enough of it off. Oh my, that's like ridiculous.
Oh, my nerves.
Oh man. All right, last one. James Summers. Either James Summers had a lifelong dream of working at a Denny's, or he was just really hungry. In one of the more bizarre arrest reports, Summers waltzed into a He didn't walk. He waltzed into a Madison Denny's in February of 2012. He was dressed up in a coat and tie and claimed to be sent over from corporate. Something didn't seem right to the people at Denny's because they're probably like, there is no corporate. So... So while they were calling corporate to inquire, Summers put his plan into action. He began to cook himself a cheeseburger and fries.
Wow, he's going to get away with $10, $15 and a free meal that he cooked himself.
He probably didn't even have a chance to eat it. So Summers was arrested. That is like crazy. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh my nerves.
Oh my nerves. Oh man. All right. Well, that is what we got
from Dina B.
From Dina B.
Well, she got sidetracked at the bar tonight.
That's our lovely Dina.
Yes. She has got quite a thriving social life. So sometimes it pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah. She's take advantage of this lovely last.
Yeah. It's nice like the last night. Nice night.
Got to make up for the rest of us, for all us introverts, I guess. All right, alphabetically speaking, I am actually up next, and I didn't follow my own rules because I couldn't decide between the stories. I had one picked out, and then this other one popped up like 2 days ago, and it was so outrageous. I had to include it, but I like the other one so much that I didn't want to give it up. So I'm going to try to go through these as quickly as I can. They're not terribly long, but it'll be worth it, I promise. So first story that I have, this is one that actually popped up a couple days ago, is it's on dailymail.com. Wisconsin nurse, 38, amputated 62-year-old patient's frostbitten foot without permission so she could display it at family's taxidermy shop.
Stop.
And this was
what community is this? What town?
Oh man, it might be in the article. It's in the article. I'll just jump into it.
So it will learn about it as it goes.
Okay. Yeah. So a Wisconsin nurse has been charged with elder abuse after she amputated an elderly man's foot. And 62 is hardly elderly, but okay.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that. Carrie and I are like, what? Oh, yeah, Bonnie too. Yeah.
When I was like my kid's age, I probably thought so, but. Okay. So a Wisconsin nurse has been charged with elder abuse after she amputated an elderly man's foot without permission and allegedly told colleagues she was going to display it at her family's taxidermy store. Mary Kay Brown, 38, was treating a 62-year-old man who suffered a fall and whose foot was subsequently damaged by frostbite. On May 27th, she amputated the gangrenous foot, telling a fellow nurse she intended to exhibit it with a sign saying, "Wear your boots, kids."
Oh my gosh, that is not even funny.
Very morbid. The man died 8 days after the operation on June 4th. And last week, Brown was criminally charged. The saga began in March when the man was admitted to Spring Valley Health and Rehab Center in the small rural village of Spring Valley, close to the border with Minnesota, 60 miles east of Minneapolis. Wow. It's western Wisconsin. He had fallen and was struggling to recover. His foot was damaged by frostbite. The patient's condition continued to decline and he fell out of bed in the nursing facility, further damaging his foot. 2 months later, by May, Brown said that she thought the patient's foot needed amputating. Doctors were sure that he was close to dying, and other nursing staff said his foot was necrotic and only held to the rest of his leg by dead skin and tendons.
Oh, this sounds disgusting.
Brown said that she took the decision to amputate his foot because she was trying to make the quality of life better for him. She explained that the patient always complained about the smell, and she thought he would like it better.
I have to say, why didn't the doctors step in sooner?
I mean, yeah. You gotta wonder, like, where are they in this whole scenario? So,
yeah.
He said there was no blood in the procedure. Ooh. And another
because it's dead.
it's falling off.
Yeah, it's hanging by dead skin.
And another nurse said the man felt no pain. But a different nurse told investigators that while Brown was performing the amputation, the man's grip was extremely tight and he was moaning a little bit. 2 days later, the patient told another unnamed nurse that he had felt everything and it hurt very bad, according to the affidavit. Ugh. Brown put the amputated foot in a bag in a freezer. One of her colleagues said Brown talked about taking the victim's foot home and epoxying it, coating it in resin, which the nurse found to be strange.
Yeah.
The man died on...
Yeah, a little strange. Yeah.
There's nothing normal in this story. It's all strange. Yeah. The man died on June 4th, and the morgue worker found his foot was missing. It's like, oh, now they know that the foot's missing. And there's like multiple people who knew that this happened. She wasn't the only nurse involved in this situation.
Yeah.
And so it was the
Where were the doctors?
Yeah. So it was the morgue worker that was like, oh, his foot's gone, and alerted authorities. Kevin Larson, administrator and CEO of the facility, who needs to get his ass fired, said that Brown did not follow standard procedure and write a report on the incident. Like after the fact, or like
really, that's not standard procedure. She can't just take it home and put epoxy on it.
She shouldn't just be doing it and then
sawing off his foot. Yeah,
there were no notes about the amputation on the man's chart, and the doctor's order was not sought. Shouldn't the doctor's order be sought before, and then like the doctor does the amputation?
Exactly.
Not
like,
that's how I would prefer.
And it kind of makes it sound like, anyway, why weren't the doctors there?
It makes it sound like if she had just written up the notes and written a report about it, that she'd have been in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
But that's So Larson said the best practice should have been to get an order from a doctor. Best practice, only practice. Which he believes they would have given. He said he did not believe Brown had any malicious motive, but she has been fired. Scapegoat, I say. We have and will continue to fully cooperate with the investigation into this matter. The person identified is not employed with our community, said the nursing home in a statement. She has not commented on the charges filed on November 3rd. Brown faces up to 40 years in prison on each of the felony charges and a maximum penalty of $100,000 for each charge. Brown is due back in court in December. So if...
Hey, oh my foot.
Yeah. Like, if ever...
my nerves in my foot that are now dead.
If ever there's a story that makes you want to say, oh my nerves, this is it.
Hey.
Yeah.
I was like...
Literally.
If she thought she was doing the right thing because nobody else was.
Oh my gosh. It's just
right, like, maybe. And if she saw that it was all dead, maybe she thought it wouldn't hurt. But still,
well, and the guys complaining so about the smell.
Oh, that's going on.
Oh yeah. Yes. All right. So then the other story that I had that I'll jump into so that saves some time. So this is from WISN Milwaukee. Headline reads: Slinger teen faces 27 felonies accused of recording girls changing in a bathroom. And this is posted on October 27th. So not that long ago. It says a teenager from Slinger is accused of using a hidden camera to record hundreds of videos and pictures of teenage girls changing in a bathroom.
Is it, I'm taking the school bathroom?
No.
No?
We'll cover it. Brian Saban, 17, made his first court appearance Thursday at the Washington County Courthouse. He is charged with 27 felonies, accused of using a secret peephole at his family's lake house on Big Cedar Lake in the town of Polk to recruit a dozen girls as they change clothes. He's charged with invasion of privacy, possession of child pornography, and exposing a child to harmful materials. According to the criminal complaint, it came to light in September when Saban showed some of the photos to a friend who then reported it. Because that kid knows the difference between right and wrong. The investigation uncovered nearly 600 videos and photos on his phone depicting nude girls. Detectives identified 12 girls ranging in age from 14 to 17.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The images were recorded between 2020 and last month. According to the complaint, Saban admitted he used a peephole to view into the basement bathroom where girls would change into and out of swimsuits. It appears he was in a manner bragging about obtaining some of these photographs, so those statements are quite strong, Washington County Assistant District Attorney Elizabeth Longo said.
I was just wondering how this came to light, and of course, because he has to brag about it.
Yes.
And thankfully,
one of the victims told Detective Saban was very pushy about having the girls change in the downstairs bathroom. After he was arrested, Saban told investigators it was a popular place. People like to come over because it is a lake house, because he's a rich kid. The Washington County Sheriff's Office Thursday revealed they've also just gained access to another electronic device found in a search warrant and unfortunately could result in more victims being identified and the potential for more charges. There is no indication in the criminal complaint that Saban sent the pictures and videos anywhere or to anyone, but just capturing the images alone constitutes child pornography. It doesn't require the distribution, although he is accused of showing some people the images on his phone. Now, this is a statement from his attorney. He's a 17-year-old boy with no prior record. He's in counseling currently. His parents are outstanding members of the community, and I've spent a lot of time with him, and I don't expect there to be concerns for the safety of the community, Saban's attorney, Jonathan Lavoie, said. So if I were to translate that, I'd say his parents are rich and donate a lot of money to the community.
Yeah, I would say that's what they're trying to touch on right there. So
I really hope that he actually does face some serious consequence for his actions. But either way, my concern would be that he's going to get a slap on the wrist, get probation if his mommy and daddy's connections allow it to happen. He's going to not stop what he's doing, and he's only going to escalate. And then eventually it's going to get to the point where voyeurism isn't enough.
Yikes. Wow.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's how, like, this is not like a,
this is how it starts off. Right.
Right. Exactly.
And like you're saying, especially if he gets away with it.
Right.
And his parents like back him and help him through this. Mm-hmm. Like, right. He's not learning that this is wrong. And you're a piece of shit for doing this.
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see how this all shakes out, because the way that it stands with the current charges, not even with any additional charges from the second electronic device, says if convicted of the 27 felonies, he could face more than 90 years in prison. So if he's facing like that many years in prison potentially, and he walks away with like probation or some minor like sentence,
The slap on the wrist, like you're saying.
That's a real statement about our system.
Yeah. And if he's doing this at age, whatever, 16. Yeah, 17.
Well, he started.
What's he going to, right? Right. He's starting. Yep.
Yeah. He started in 2020. So he was at least 16, 15, possibly, when he did this. That's just insane. And I mean, I don't know if this says anything about how serious they're taking it or not. It said Saban posted $10,000 bail Thursday afternoon. He's scheduled to be back in court in December. Like, that doesn't seem like that high of a bail.
No, $10,000.
90 yeah. years. So,
I mean, granted, he didn't kill anyone, but still, that's a lot of people over a lot of time, and they're minors.
Yeah. Well, and the fact the fact that they're releasing his name tells you that they have no intention of that. They're planning on charging him as an adult and will not be going back on that. Because I think I did read another article where there was somebody that was like 16 or 17 and they didn't release their name because they weren't sure if they would and if it would end up going to juvenile court. So if they weren't planning on charging him as an adult, they wouldn't have released his name. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, all right, so that's what I got. Whew. I think we could honestly do like a teenager series based on some of these stories.
Yeah, the Bape sweatshirt hoodie. God,
yeah, all right. Hey, so you're up, Jill.
All right, let's see here. All right, so my first start, of course, I'm doing dumb criminals, and the title to my first story is Wisconsin Criminal Learns Pizza Box, Not the Best Spot to Hide Stolen Items. And this is from October 31st, 2022. Wisconsin man arrested after police busted him with stolen Apple products stashed in an old pizza box. All right, back in the day, if you were to list ways to break the law in order of ease to the most difficult, I would guess that shoplifting would be considered in the easy crime category. You pretty much stashed the loot in your coat pocket and walked out. I remember having friends doing it and never getting caught. I was always too scared to try it. With technology nowadays, it's a pretty good chance you're going to get busted. Plus, business owners are not very forgiving. They have no problem with pressing charges. I don't blame them, especially since everything has gotten so expensive. According to channel3000.com, quote, Madison police arrested a man Monday after they said he stole Apple products and tried to hide them in an old pizza box. He was arrested and faces theft charges as well as misdemeanor and felony bail jumping charges. All right, it says, a man in Madison, Wisconsin entered an Apple store and shoplifted several products valued at $2,500, including a MacBook, iPad, iPhone, and iPod. The dumb criminal was found when police used the Find My app. The suspect wasn't very far from the scene of the crime. He was wearing the same exact clothes and carrying a pizza box containing the stolen merchandise. The recovered items were returned to the owners.
He was trying to hide in plain sight.
yeah, like he's like a pizza delivery guy. I don't have anything in here. It's just a pizza. Right? All right. No. Are you proud of me? I'm like doing this on my computer.
People. I'm very proud. You're not holding up any paper.
And she sent me an email with the link and everything.
I know. Hey, baby steps. All right. Have you heard these dumb Wisconsin town names? There's a town in Michigan called Hell, H-E-L-L, yeah. Michigan. And then it says, all I really want is a t-shirt, please. All right. I'm not sure how many of these Wisconsin towns I would wear on a t-shirt, though. Now I get it. There's a rich Native American tradition in Wisconsin, so some town names are filled with historic value, like Milwaukee or Manitowoc. Sure, enjoy that, but there are others that are head scratchers, to say the least. So let's look and talk about some of these names. You can use them as, hey, I bet you can't spell this joke, as you look to see if that person is wrong or right. Okay, let's start here. So obviously, because we're from Wisconsin, we all know how to pronounce Oconomowoc. Yep. But it is rather funny trying to hear people, like when they first see it, they're Oconomowoc, or however they do it. Mm-hmm. But so this person's comment in the article says, way too many vowels. This is part of Milwaukee and has lots of waters and O's. And this one has been one of our topics on BCM, or one of the towns we've covered. Let's make sure I'm going to say it right here. Viroqua.
Yeah.
Right? Not Viroqua.
He
says, sounds like a James Bond movie bad guy, known for its food. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Okay. Cornucopia. It is just that, filled with beer and cheese.
That's on Alaska.
Yeah, I'll live there, beer and cheese. Hopefully no murder. Really,
what's stupid about that?
Yeah, right. No murder, as long as that's out. On Alaska, is this just like a bad ripoff? There's Alaska and then on Alaska. It says Spooner.
Really odd name.
Yeah. Spooner, OMG, such a close and caring town. I'm very curious how they greet you.
Oh, no.
Michigan, I wonder if Michigan got ticked about this. A lot like on Alaska, this is a bad ripoff, people. Come up with your own original name. And then it says, well, there you go, dumb Wisconsin town names, like the dumbest won't get dumber. I'm sure that people are nice, especially in Spoon Me, Wisconsin, or whatever it's called. So that's the end of that article. This is from 96.7.
I feel like if that's all they could come up with, that's really not that bad.
Okay, that's exactly what I thought. So then because I was thinking, there's Institute. Dean and I have touched on this as you go to Door County.
It's like going to the Institute.
Right. So I pulled up this from the Discover Wisconsin website. And there's 25 listed in here. So I don't know if I'll go through all of them. But okay, so it has Arkansas, but it's spelled with at the end S-A-W instead of S-A-S, and it's in Pepin County, and it says Arkansas, Wisconsin was named after the Arkansas River. I'm not sure when someone decided to replace the S with a W, but who am I to question their logic?
Well, it makes sense if you know how to spell.
Well, yeah, this is what, phonetic spelling?
Arkansas.
Yeah. All right, Avalanche in Vernon County. It says, I have to wonder if an introvert named this town as a strategic way of deterring others from moving in. We're on to you, citizens of Avalanche.
That's clever. It is clever, if that's true.
Yeah.
That one's kind of dumb. Okay, I like this one. Bosstown in Richland County. And they write, I find myself sitting up extra straight while driving through this tiny town of Bosstown. Just like.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Okay, Cleghorn. It's spelled Cleghorn, Eau Claire County. And maybe Erica likes this one because it sounds like the name of a character from Harry Potter. Wish that actor just passed away recently.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Actually, two of them did.
What?
Two actors from Harry Potter passed away recently.
What was two of them.
Who's the other one? I know the guy that played Hagrid died.
That's the
Hagrid
one.
Hagrid died. And the other
that's
one
the one I was thinking.
That was just this morning, actually.
Wait, somebody died this morning?
Well, yesterday, I saw the voice, the
sorting hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Anyway.
Harry Potter. Okay. All right. Well, moving on. Dairyland in Douglas County. It said, shouldn't this be our capital? Now, this next one is where I want to live. Disco, Jackson County.
It says, I dream
of a town where everyone moves like Travolta. Said town shall be named Disco. All right. This one, I am familiar with this one, and I have been in this town, Embarrass in Wapakoneta County.
Yeah.
I think my friend Julie actually lives in Embarrass, even though when she told me I was going to her new house, she said Clintonville. And I went past Clintonville and into Embarrass, and I'm like, oh, did I miss a turn? And then I thought, oh, is she embarrassed that she lives in Embarrass? So this person just says tee hee hee after that. Okay. Let's see. Institute. So they have Institute on here, Door County. And I think Dina has talked about how her friends have gone here. And this person says, I went to a bar here once. It was called Institute Saloon, I believe. My friends and I had a lovely time. That is all. All right. Michigan. We're familiar with Michigan. Manitowoc County. It's Michigan means hairy leg. And this, my friends, is the most useful nugget of knowledge you will consume all month. All right. Oconomowoc obviously is in here. Okay. So it says, aside from my evil regard for baffling non-natives, I also like that the name Oconomowoc derives from Kunomowoc, which is Potawatomi term for waterfall. I don't know that. Ooh, Partyville, and it's P-A-R-D-E-E-ville in Columbia County. And then this person put party people. Who wouldn't want to call this place home? I know I would. Random Lake in Sheboygan County.
Yeah, just a random lake.
It goes, I'm unsure of the origins of this one. Maybe it was just a random name. If anyone knows, comment below. Rural, R-U-R-A-L in Wapakoneta County. Somewhat of a lazy naming job, I suspect, but I kind of like it. Sheboygan, shebang bang, right, in Sheboygan County. I don't know why, but every time I say Sheboygan out loud, I find myself really laying on the Wisconsin accent. Sheboygan. Such dramatized pronunciation makes this Wisconsin girl very happy. Oh my gosh, to Cheetah, Fond du Lac County. Isn't that where the prison is, the lady women's prison?
Yeah.
Okay, Tishigan. It says Racine County. It's like someone had a few too many brandy old fashioned sweets, or maybe Johnny Z's extra specials, and thought it was a good idea to give their town a name that sarcastically alludes to our next door neighbor, Michigan. Oh yeah, Wyawega in Wapakoneta County. It's Native American for old woman. Use this information very cautiously, please. Oh, okay. And then Winnebago County. I didn't find this name too amusing until I learned Winnebago literally translates to dirty water people. Now that's giggle worthy. I just kind of had to, I thought those were funny. So
that's
all I have for tonight.
So I will, to kind of circle it back to the beginning. We talked about the bubbler and how that is very Milwaukeean. And so this news story came out a few weeks ago, and I flagged it right away as the high note for this episode, because it just seems very fitting and something I definitely want to share with everyone that listens to the podcast. So this is from Milwaukee TMJ4. Article. It says National Geographic names Milwaukee as one of the best places to visit in 2023.
Oh my gosh, my boys told me about this. It must have popped up on Zach's phone the other day. We were like, what?
Yeah, it's actually really? We don't want all
those visitors. Watch out. Well, watch out where you're visiting. We don't want no.
Yeah.
Don't wear a Bape hoodie.
Yeah. While visiting. Okay. So it says National Geographic has named Milwaukee as one of the best places to visit in 2023. On Wednesday, the publication released its Best of the World list, which named 25 destinations across the world that are best for traveling next year. And so this was published on October 26th of this year. The list is broken down into five categories: community, nature, culture, family, and adventure. Milwaukee was listed under the community section. It says, quote, Wisconsin's biggest and liveliest city combines blue-collar, back-thumping energy with a close-knit creative community that's turning heads beyond the Great Lakes. Having a winning NBA team, the Bucks, doesn't hurt either, National Geographic wrote. The article talks about Milwaukee's Deer District, the historic Third Ward, the Harley-Davidson Museum, and of course, the Milwaukee Art Museum. The other four destinations under the community category were Laos, Dodecanese Islands in Greece, I probably butchered that, Ghana, and Alberta, Canada. Says, upon the release of the article, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson spoke with Visit Milwaukee, saying, Milwaukee has every reason to be proud of this destination. It is particularly gratifying because of the global perspective Nat Geo provides when evaluating the best of the world. Visit Milwaukee said its communications team had been pitching Milwaukee for coverage by National Geographic for over a year. I'm so proud of the work my team has done to position Milwaukee in a way that makes us proud, but also feels authentic to who and what we are as a community, said Visit Milwaukee President and CEO Peggy Williams Smith. And that is the high note. So Milwaukee, not so bad.
According to that.
According to that.
Do you follow Discover Milwaukee on Instagram?
I do not.
Discover Milwaukee, no.
I'm social media free.
What?
I follow.
I'm social media free, so I don't.
Instagram. I've got a private account just for the family, but this Discover Milwaukee has, like, every month they put out everything going on in Milwaukee and Milwaukee suburbs every month.
I'll have to look into that.
There's always a lot going on.
Yeah, that's true.
I do follow positive. Positively Milwaukee on Facebook. So that's a much funner one than crime. Although I have to say my penchant for crime is really helping in popping up new noteworthy news articles for these types of episodes of the podcast. But all righty. So with that, that's all we had for this episode. Next podcast episode, we'll get back to our usual repertoire of covering a single case yet to be determined. If anybody has any recommendations, please feel free to let us know. I hope that you guys are enjoying the content and the episodes and things that we're covering. Keep listening. Thank you for listening. Share with your friends. But until next time, eat, drink, and be wary. Thank you for listening to Beer, Cheese, and Murder. We would like to also thank the references that make this podcast possible. A full list of references can be found on our website at beercheeseandmurderpodcast.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at beercheeseandmurderpod, where pictures from today's episode are available for your viewing. If you would like to share your feedback, WISCO facts, case suggestions, stories, or just whatever, please email us at contact@beercheeseandmurderpodcast.com. Don't forget to tell your friends, but most importantly, until next time, eat, drink, and be wary.